All right, everybody, I'm back with another episode of Playing with Squirrels, a Boy Meets World fancast. This week, I'm joined by my best friend, Lorelei, and her baby, Quinn.
Who is sleeping.
She's currently sleeping, but just in case you hear any baby-like sounds over the next 20 minutes of this episode, that's Quinn. She's adorable. So the episode that we watched was Teacher's Bet, which aired November 19th, 1993. Laura's a good guest to have on. Because she's a teacher.
Yeah.
So, it was a weirdly appropriate episode.
It was very appropriate and very relevant still.
So, talking about the relevancy, we'll get into some of the heavier-handed stuff that happens in this episode. Because about midway through this episode, I remembered what episode this was, and I even said, oh, this is a heavy one. So, the first thing that we hear in this episode, the episode begins with Corey and Sean discussing different baseball players and how much money they make, which Minkus overhears and is shocked to hear that a baseball player makes that much money while Mr. Feeney only makes $40,000 a year, which led me to my very first question to Laura, which is, like, how off-base is that price?
Oh, no, that's, like, pretty on target for a bachelor's degree. Well, even today with a master's degree, which I have, it's, like, it doesn't even matter anymore. You know, you bust your butt in school and you are shaping the youth of our nation only for peanuts. I mean, we don't get into it for the money, obviously, but, you know, it's a rewarding career to have. But, you know, for all that teachers have to do and everything that we have to put up with, we practically get paid nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was very relevant and very close to home.
So what happens in this episode, there's two different storylines. It's mostly an A storyline, and the B storyline just kind of weaves itself into it. Mm-hmm. The main storyline is that Feeney and Corey make a bet. The bet being that if Corey can teach social studies for the week and more kids pass the test on Friday than normal, then Corey will get one-fifth of Mr. Feeney's paycheck. If more kids fail, then Corey gives his bicycle to Mr. Feeney, which I think is a very risky move in the fact that Feeney is literally sacrificing multiple kids' abilities to pass a test to teach a lesson to one kid.
Right.
Which is going to be an ongoing theme throughout the rest of Boy Meets World. The other storyline follows Eric and his new girlfriend for this episode, and probably this episode only. I don't believe we ever see her again.
I don't think we do, no.
And her being Asian, and without saying what the word is on the episode, she gets yelled what we can only imagine is some type of racial slur. You made a point that you wanted to mention the denim-on-denim fashion that Eric Matthews was rocking in this episode.
Oh, gotta love that 90s fashion. he was rocking that denim button-down top with the sleeves rolled up three-quarters of the way with his denim jeans, of course.
Sleepy baby.
We also have another guest, which is Chase, Laura's other daughter.
Yeah. I'm her first.
Yes, you're number one.
Yay!
This is one of the many episodes that remind me how cute young Morgan was compared to replacement Morgan.
Yeah, replacement Morgan kind of got on my nerves.
But young Morgan is in this episode a lot, and she's got the same attitude that she's had in some of the previous episodes, where she's kind of the, like, wise beyond her years but also still a kid type combo, where she's very... I chuckled at the one line where the mom said, "Let's go, I need you to help me in the kitchen," and she said, "You need to get more independent because I want to talk to Linda."
Yeah, that was really funny.
Season one, I feel like, is a lot of, like, you gotta sit through a lot of bad episodes to find the occasional good episode in season one, but this was a really good episode.
This was a very good episode. You know, season one, when you told me we were watching a season one episode, I was like, oh, man, like, I wanna watch the good stuff, you know, I wanna see the Corey and Topanga years, but, no, that was a really good episode, but season one on a whole is pretty campy.
Yeah, it's... So, this is going to offend you a little bit.
Oh, great.
But my sister, Julie, spent the night at the house yesterday, and I wanted to show her Stranger Things, and instead she made me watch the last two episodes of Fuller House, because mm-hmm. that's all she had to wrap up. And season one of Boy Meets World reminds me a lot of Fuller House, and it's a very very sitcom-y sitcom show in the first season.
Oh, I don't take offense to that because, you know, side note, the thing about Fuller House is it's very true to the, you know, nostalgia and campiness of the early years of Full House. And if you don't appreciate Full House, you're not going to care for Fuller House.
Yeah, I just, I feel like, and I was saying this to Julie, I just feel like Fuller House is such a weird Netflix show to me.
Yeah.
Because so many of the other Netflix shows are like, oh, this is a show that couldn't be on any other channel. And, like, Fuller House is like, well, this could really be on any channel.
Yeah.
Like, it,
yeah, definitely.
It seems so weird to be a Netflix one. The other thing that made me chuckle is when Corey first starts teaching the class, the absolute panic in Minkus. When
he's,
just like...
he's that typical cliche smart kid in class. I'm pretty sure we've all had that guy in class.
This is Mr. Feeney. So Feeney is replacing Corey in the classroom while Corey's teaching. And he's wearing an eternally hip meatloaf sweater.
But it wasn't even like a concert shirt. It's a white sweatshirt that looks like it's from Walmart with big red letters that say meatloaf on it.
For all we know, it could just be an advertisement for the food.
Like, you could make that with an iron and some iron on paper.
So, this episode then turns into, as we said, Linda gets yelled a racial slur at the mall, and the class that Corey's supposed to be teaching is on the Diary of Anne Frank, which leads to where this episode gets really heavy, and it's also kind of depressingly still relevant.
Yeah.
The speech that Corey gives about... how, you know, we just, we're joined by yet another guest.
On a podcast.
Amanda, who lives in Lara's basement. She's the Cody of this house.
We're talking about Blue Mates World.
Oh.
It's weirdly and depressingly still relevant, definitely, everything that Corey talks about. And I'll play his whole speech right here in the episode so you can hear it for yourself.
Class, I'd like to talk to you today about prejudice and how it still exists in today's world. I didn't even know that till last night when I saw a real smart, totally cool Asian girl crying her eyes out because some idiot at the mall called her a bad name. My lesson for today is that when people treat other people badly because of their skin color or their religion or where they come from, then real smart, totally cool people can really suffer.
Hey, George, this isn't gum. These are Rolaids.
Deal me out of this one, Mr. Hunter.
What? Why?
Okay, you win. I'm a crummy teacher and I resign. Hey, Sean. Before your mother got married, what was her name again?
Cordini.
Cordini. So that would make you a WAP, right?
What did you call me?
You heard what I called you.
Did you hear what he called me?
I heard what he called you.
What are you going to do about it?
He's the teacher. What are you going to do about it?
I'm going to knock his head off.
What if you couldn't? What if you couldn't do anything about it?
What?
What if you lived in a country where I could kill you just because of your mom's last name?
Corey, what are you talking about?
A 15-year-old girl is dead! Doesn't anybody care?
Corey.
She was real smart and totally cool. She wrote this book. Her name was Anne Frank. They say she died of typhus, but they killed her. Because her name was Anne Frank. Anne Frank was a victim of anti-Semitism.
Anti-Semitism.
Thank you, Mr. Feeney. You have to read this book. And you have to pass this test. Not because of me, but because when someone calls someone else a bad name, it's not good that just that one person jumps up. We all have to jump up. In spite of everything, I still believe that people are really good at heart.
So yeah, no, that isn't that far from what we have been hearing people talk about on social media for the last, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
So this is the part where it's hard to be funny, so we're just going to move past it, but good speech from Corey.
Yeah.
And it's funny knowing what we know now, that Corey becomes a teacher in Girl Meets World, that this is kind of like the starting point of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he did a really great job. And I mean, obviously, you know, it's a show, but, you know. Yeah. But to me, it was believable and definitely relatable and relevant. And I teared up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I teared. That was a very emotional episode.
And did you say double bubble?
Yes. Can you not interrupt, though, please?
Yeah. Just 5 more minutes.
Can I have a snack?
Can't write this, people. Yes, yes, you may have a snack.
I'm keeping all of it. I'm not deleting a single thing.
No editing. So anyway. Sorry.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, so it was a very serious, very heavy episode, and it... Like we said, it's all still very relevant with the, you know, I'm not going to get political here, but with the whole racism and people shouting racial slurs that people, and this is a child, the girl on the show, she was supposed to be 15 years
three,
old.
Three quarters.
Yeah, 15 and three quarters, she said to Morgan.
Played by a 20-something-year-old actress.
Obviously. But yeah, I mean, that's very upsetting because there are still, you know, young children today who have to experience this.
Yeah. Well, I like Corey has the one line where he says, you know, when someone says a bad thing, it shouldn't just be the person that's getting that said to that stands up.
That stands up, yeah. Like, it should be all of us rallying to stand up for equality and the rights of others.
Which I think continues to focus on, you know, what, and I've mentioned this a bunch of times on this show in previous episodes, but, you know, the original intention of this show was to highlight the importance of teachers. That was more than anything that he wanted to show, was like a coming of age story that focused on the positives about teachers.
Yeah.
And I think that this was a really great episode to show that, because it showed Corey stepping into teacher shoes and also showed that with Feeney, there's always a second lesson behind what he does. And I think that that's not unrealistic. Good
not.
Teachers always have that second lesson behind what they're actually teaching.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the episode, I had to chuckle because Eric's bragging that he's dating a cheerleader now. To which Corey and Eric's mom is like, oh, what happened to Linda? I liked Linda. Which, you know, we're never going to see Linda again, regardless. But Linda made it on the cheerleading squad, and it's just kind of a throwaway joke there. But there's not a lot to play clip-wise from this episode. Normally, I have a lot more audio clips, but
I think that speech is really all that you need, because this was such an emotional, heavy episode. And especially during that time period, you know, I feel like the 90s were kind of like, I want to say,
this is 93. This is like right as grunge is at its peak, and like a lot of like social awareness and a lot more people speaking out against stuff like this around then.
It was
right before Woodstock 94 ruined all that. So the last thing that I normally discuss when we do these episodes, and Amanda can join in. She's sitting on the couch if she wants to.
I'm a little late for this.
That's fine. That's fine. So what I want to ask you guys both about is, like, what are your, like, Boy Meets World / TGIF memories? Like, You know, I know for me, like, I went out of my way to almost never have plans on a Friday night.
TGIF was, my mom and I would hunker down, you know, and watch TGIF, and Friday night in my house was either pizza night or Happy Meal night, so I would get me some McDonald's, and we would sit in front of the TV and wait for 8 o'clock to roll around, and, you know, we would watch all of that stuff, and for me, Boy Meets World was definitely one of my top favorites, especially as I got older. I think
it's definitely a show that you actually appreciate more as an adult than, because it's interesting watching it through an adult lens. Yeah. It seems like it was written more towards adults than a lot of the other TGIF shows.
Yeah. Were. Especially beyond that first season, because the first season there, aside from, you know, a few episodes here and there, like this one, there were a lot of child geared storylines, and it was a little more campy and, you know, silly.
Then it just got absurd.
But then there are some absurd, but overall, you know, it was, there was a lot of adult stuff in there, I think, a lot of heavy topics. And all the relationship stuff between Corey and Topanga, they were relationship goals for me. I think that's the first time I ever saw a couple on TV and thought, man, I hope I have a relationship like that someday. And not even really processing what I was thinking about, but yeah, in my subconscious thinking like, hey, this is what a couple should be.
There's one that I always forget about. My brother introduced it to me, like reintroduced it to me right when I was getting back into Boy Meets World, was how heavy the Topanga Corey wedding episode is, mm-hmm, where he has the big blowout with Sean.
Yeah.
And there's that point where like Sean's just like, look, like you're going to get married and you're never going to talk to me again. And like, For a kid's show to address something that all of us go through still, when, like, even in our 30s, where, like, we see a friend's getting married, and it's just, like, there's that part of us that knows, like, oh, I'm not going to see that person nearly as much now.
Yeah.
And that's, like, crazy that they did that for a kid's show. Like, yeah, they address that type of anxiety and fear in a kid's show. Do you have a favorite Boy Meets World moment?
I can't pinpoint just one. There's several. I mean, the underpants moment is a good one. My mom and I were always really big fans of Eric. So literally any moment with Eric is a good one.
And I think this was pre-dumb Eric in this episode.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me. I have to go back and rewatch all of this, I think. I'm going to put it on my list of things to watch. But yeah, Eric... And I said to you when we were watching this, man, he's really not stupid in this episode. He was a very supportive boyfriend. He was comforting. He was friendly. He was, you know, and he spoke with intelligence. And then later, for some reason, they just really dumbed him down.
Yeah, he just talks like South Park characters at random points.
But he was still the lovable, you know, the lovable dope.
Yeah, everyone loves a little bit of Eric Matthews.
Yeah.
How are you, Amanda? You got a favorite Boy Meets World moment?
No, but what I did on TGIF nights was, my cousin lived right down the street, like, basically on the same street, just could see his house from my front steps, and me and my dad would go there and hang out with my cousin and my aunt and my uncle and get pizza. It was always pizza night. That's what we did every Friday night.
Nice.
That's all I have to say about that.
She gave the Forrest Gump ending.
Oh, the 90s.
All right, well, thank you so much, Laura and Chase and Quinn. And Amanda, for joining us on this episode.
I've got a full house.
I wish
house.
I would have known this was going on. I feel like you guys didn't tell me on purpose.
I smell a sitcom.
This is definitely a fuller house than normal.
Yeah.
The same number of students pass the test as usual. It's a draw. You get to keep your bike.
Good. You mean some people still failed?
It happens, no matter how good a teacher you are.
Sorry to hear that. I guess I didn't do such a good job.
On the contrary, Mr. Matthews, you did an excellent job. Mr. Hunter, for instance, got a full grade higher than he usually does. Somehow, you must have gotten his attention.
Sean got a B?
Mm-hmm.
At least one guy learned something from me this week.
Two.
Two? Who else?
You, Mr. Matthews.
But how do you know? I didn't even take the test.
You didn't have to. Do you really think that I could have gotten you to read the diary of Anne Frank?
Even if you did, Mr. Feeney, I still wouldn't have understood it without you.